SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What is this going to be?
Moneyline.
No! Are you kidding me? Humdiddly D!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win 7 games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Yeah, hey, Friday afternoon, people. There's no better place to be than right here, right now on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's time for the best hour of your day. It is Moneyline Solo Mission today for your boy, Donnie Wrightside, and we got a lot of hot topics to get to today. Yesterday, didn't have a lot to cheer about in Major League Baseball. Afternoon action, didn't love a lot of stuff. Actually made a little bit of money later on at night because I lost some action in the NBA. So not a bad day overall, but today's Friday, and our duty today is set you up for Friday night action and also what to look forward to this weekend. But before we can do that, we got to get to some of the hot topics of what took place yesterday and what you watched on your TV. I thought the Sixers would win game 6. The New York Knicks opened up a 20-plus point lead in the first quarter and were able to beat the Sixers 118-115. The Sixers flipped that game on its head in the second quarter by beating the Knicks 32-15. Buddy Hield was dropping three-point shots. The Sixers, with about 6 minutes to go in the third quarter, had a double-digit lead over the New York Knicks. And granted, the Knicks were up about 8 points with 3 minutes to go, and that game was tied up with under a minute. The NBA is absolutely wild at this point. But let's get to the further point here of the 76ers and the Knicks and what this means for the future of both teams. The future for the New York Knicks is they're going to go into round number 2 as a heavy favorite to knock off the Indiana Pacers. We'll get to what the Pacers did against the Bucks in just a few moments here. But looking at last night, Jalen Brunson is absolutely amazing. When you take a look at how you dominate in the NBA game, right? You typically look at Michael Jordan, what, 6'5", 6'6", guards, Kobe Bryant, same thing, ability to get your own shot, post up smaller shooting guards. You get the point here, right? A little bit easier to maneuver. You take a look at Jalen Brunson, who's not all that big, 6'2", to be kind. That's what we used to call Allen Iverson, like a 6 foot guard out of Georgia. Yeah, Allen Iverson probably wasn't even 6 foot at that point, but still able to dominate. But Jalen Brunson's ability to have that slow man game dominant, like I want to get to the corner or corner of the lane here to shoot a 15 foot jump shot here. That's what I want to do, right? And he gets there every time. By the way, just a quick point right here. I know we're just going to get down here talking the NBA. Adrian Wojnarowski, breaking news. The Los Angeles Lakers have dismissed coach Darvin Ham. Sources tell ESPN, in 2 seasons, Ham was 90-74 with a Western Conference final berth, 2 play-in victories, and an in-season title. The Lakers lost in 5 games to Denver in the opening round. So Darvin Ham is out. We're not all that surprised by that. Who knows who LeBron James picks to be his next head coach, but that certainly is relevant and breaking news here that Darvin Ham has been released, or should I say fired, to be more like it, from the Los Angeles Lakers. But back to the Sixers and Jalen Brunson. Brunson has been absolutely tremendous. That 15-foot elbow jump shot, getting to the corner, doing whatever he wants. First of all, it's hard to score in the NBA. But sometimes it just might be hard enough just to get your shot off. And repeatedly, game after game after game, 25 to 35 shots Jalen Brunson was taking in this Sixers series. He was 13 of 27 last night with 12 dimes and 41 points. He was awesome. The bench did nothing for the New York Knicks, and they were still able to beat the Philadelphia 76ers in Philadelphia because Dante DiVincenzo woke up 5 of 9 from three-point range. Josh Hart, double digits, which means 16 points, 14 rebounds, and 7 an assist. OG Anunoby, who you got through a trade, 19 points in a big moment. That's what matters. But I also have to say this. You guys know I'm a Sixers fan, right? Wasn't able to watch the game live all the way through. Caught up when I woke up earlier this morning to watch it. Joel Embiid, who on the opening jump of the game did not even jump, which I said to myself, oh my goodness, this is going to be devastating for the Sixers because it looks like he's really literally on his last legs. He played 40 minutes, went 12 of 25 from the field, which included 2 of 5 from three-point range, a perfect 13 of 13 from the free throw line, added in 13 rebounds and 39 total points. That guy was a warrior. You know who wasn't a warrior last night? Tobias Harris for the Philadelphia 76ers, who is a close to a max contract player in the biggest game of your season, which you needed to advance. 29 minutes, not a single point in that game, and a starting lineup worst, minus 10. That's embarrassing. Tyrese Maxey, who was the Game 5 hero in the Garden, comes away with 17 points over 43 minutes, but inefficient all the way through, 6 of 18 from the floor. But the Sixers bench, which has been a point of contention where they weren't able to hold leads or actually perform in this playoff run against the Knicks, Nick Batum, 28 minutes, 5 of 7 from the floor, 16 points. Buddy Hield, who wasn't even playing in games in this round versus the Knicks, 21 minutes, 6 of 9 from three-point range, 20 points here, and the Sixers still lost. So case in point for the Sixers, they just weren't as good as the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks are moving on to take on the Pacers, so they are a series favorite now to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, which will probably be against the Boston Celtics. But for the Sixers moving forward, big changes in the offseason. And if you've listened to this program and or the early line, particularly when it was myself and Kevin Walsh, you know what? I kept saying this year before the season started in the summer, seems like a throwaway season for the Philadelphia 76ers. If James Harden doesn't want to play, you're going to trade him. You're not going to get anything back, but that's going to open up a max spot on the Philadelphia 76ers for a player the following year. If Joel Embiid is healthy, which we know is usually tough to do, and even when he's not healthy, still the ability to score 50 points and 39 points in a playoff game is pretty impressive. Maybe next year he'll be healthy, but probably not. But still, Tyrese Maxey will be a better version of himself next year. You also have that extra spot to get a max contract player, somebody like Paul George that can certainly help out and help the Sixers be more competitive. So the offseason will be exciting for the Sixers because why? They're already into their offseason. Now the New York Knicks, they're going to move on. Now let's have some fun with this next one. If you guys were watching the early game yesterday, saw the final score, which all that wasn't crazy to me. The Pacers won 20 bucks 98. Afternoon got a little bit crazy because as you were watching, probably just like myself, who's going to play in this game for the Bucks? Are they just going to go out with a whimper? Or are they going to go out with their superstars back? Or is this game going to get interesting? In the afternoon, we were getting the text and the tweets here from Adrian Wojnarowski, Shamsharania. What were they saying? Look at this. The chance that you're going to have both superstars back in the lineup, meaning Giannis and also Dame Lillard. As the afternoon went on, Lillard got confirmed, and also Giannis Antetokounmpo was confirmed to be out at this point, which is kind of crazy when you line it up, because we were led to believe that maybe the worst injury was the actual, oh my goodness, there goes the Achilles for Dame. Well, Dame came back, played a lot of minutes, and quite frankly was decent in that game. We didn't see Giannis, but it didn't matter here. Because when you're taking a look at how you are able to put away teams like the Bucks, maybe you're just better. True. But that 22-point victory, again, bolstered by a bench. Obi Toppin played 24 minutes, went 8 of 15 from the floor, 21 points, chipped in 8 rebounds. TJ McConnell, 23 minutes, a plus 22, 7 of 9 from the floor for 20 points. That's outrageousness at that point. That's not supposed to happen. But that was one of those series with a lot of people, once you heard Giannis was not going to come back early in that series, people had the Pacers pegged. Giannis never even came back in the series, and that thing went 6 games. Now, granted, Dame was certainly banged up and injured, and it was a knee injury, then it was an Achilles, and he comes back to play. I get it. But Doc Rivers now has a scapegoat. What do you want me to do? Two of my best players were out, and they were rightfully so. Rightfully right, I should say. But still, I don't know if they would have got past the Indiana Pacers if they had both Giannis and also Dame healthy for that entire run here. But there was something that happened in that basketball game late, if you weren't watching, that has a couple good jokes here, probably a major suspension, and the NBA probably not going to put up with the antics of one Patrick Beverley. Let's talk about it next. It's a Friday afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
Nobody wants to hear about the New York Knicks today. It's old news. Knicks move on, beat the Philadelphia 76ers, and away they go into round number two. We'll see what Brunson can do. He's been flat out phenomenal after those first two games, which actually the Knicks won in the Garden. He turned up that gas, man. Started hitting 40-point games left and right. He's been good. Let's see if that momentum continues against the Pacers here. But again, breaking news, the Lakers have fired their head coach, Darvin Ham, after two seasons. Kind of a tough scene for him because, obviously, expectations are always with LeBron James. Man, I got a lot of tongue twisters today. LeBron James-led team that they're supposed to win championships or at least come close to it. Now, last year, you get to the Western Conference Finals. You lose to the NBA champion, Denver Nuggets. This year, you enter in, you get your play-in victory, you head into the playoffs, and then you get beat by who? The Denver Nuggets. Again, tough scene. Somebody's got to be a scapegoat. It won't be LeBron James. He's going to end up staying in Los Angeles, and so is Anthony Davis. So you get rid of the coach. That's the easiest way to do it. We'll find out who that next coach is coming up. LeBron James certainly will have his say who that's going to be. Now, let's get back into the hot topic that I teased before going into the break. You're taking a look here at something that the NBA really, really frowns on. And that is, obviously, you do not want the fans' interactions with the players to become somewhat physical. The NBA players are taught, basically, rule number one is, when you're on the court, you're on the court. You know, maybe you don't want to have rabbit ears, and if somebody is saying something nasty to you, you can point them at the security and probably get them removed from the arena. Now, having said that, you know where we're going with this. If you watch the highlights late in the game yesterday, it was really odd because, again, I wasn't paying attention to that game. I was starting to move on to the Philadelphia 76ers game and paying more attention to that. So I didn't even see this hit Twitter or X last night. I didn't see it until this morning. Having said that now, Patrick Beverley doing one of those no-nos here. And if Draymond Green goes on his podcast and says, quote, Adam, being Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, is going to have a problem on his hands that is forbidden to us, you know it's going to be bad. And if you did not see any of the highlights yesterday, late in the game, I want to say 2 or 3 minutes left, Patrick Beverley is sitting on the bench after the game is pretty much out of reach. And apparently, Shams Charania is tweeting out that a fan was, which I love this, by the way. Like, this isn't any ridiculous, you know, getting into any issues with players racially, angrily, stupidly, throwing things at players, right? You want to be creative out there, and sometimes you can appreciate that. And the creativeness of the fan, and again, it's one of those things where you go off on the vacation. Where do most people say, hey, look, that team's going to Cancun, or they're going fishing here? So the fans were probably repeatedly, every time there was a timeout that either one of the teams called or coming out of a commercial break where you go to the bench, you know, hey, guys, break it down, $1, $2, $3. And the fans were repeatedly saying, basically, $1, $2, $3, Cancun, which is hilarious. It's great and fun, and on a rivalry, you're putting that team away in the other team's arena. You know the fans are going to get on you because you're about to get dropped into the offseason. But if you watch the video, the odd part about it was Patrick Beverley has a basketball, and he's sitting all the way on the far end of the bench. A player is coming, checking out of the game. Beverley picks up a basketball, or he either already has it in his hands, and you see him look back, and he sort of throws a chest pass, but a soft one, right? One with arc into the stands, and it hits a lady in the head. Now, at this point, I don't think anybody knew what was going on from the fans or even from the players themselves. So Patrick Beverley is then seen, after a guy has the basketball, saying, give me that ball back, give me that ball back, give me that ball back. Now, the fan tosses the ball back to Patrick Beverley, and then he throws a rocket chest pass right back at the guy who threw the basketball back to him, giving it back. So you knew something was wrong. Then you see a Milwaukee Bucks player grab Patrick Beverley and sort of turn him away. And I don't even know if they might have even escorted him off the court itself and back into the locker room. The video sort of stopped at that point. But that's one thing the NBA can't have at that point. As much as you, you know, in an arena on an angry crowd where a play goes bad and they throw a beer can on the court or batteries or watches or hats, whatever it is, you're going to get ejected from the arena and you're going to have an issue with local law enforcement is typically what happens. But from a player's perspective, they can't be seen as the instigators or the instigatees, which means you instigated me by calling me a name. I'm coming in that crowd and I'm going to handle my business. Now, Patrick Beverley didn't do that, but he still threw a basketball into the crowd, which you can't do. Like, if you watch it, And I don't know if anybody's played sports here. Have you ever been not being paying attention, get hit like the head with a basketball or soccer ball? That's not a great feeling. So this lady got bopped upside the head with a basketball and then tossed back. And then Patrick Beverly tried to take the head off of the guy who threw the basketball back to him because he asked for it back. Now, also, post-game, you go into the locker room. Patrick Beverly is available to the media. The media is around him asking questions, primarily like, hey, your season ended early, what do you think? But also, B, the hell were you thinking about throwing a basketball into the stands? So Patrick Beverly, before he's even asking or, should I say, returning questions that have been answered, or excuse me, answering questions that have been coming from the reporters, he's like, yeah, do you subscribe to my podcast? The lady says, no. No disrespect, I'm not going to answer your question. Ask the next guy. Do you subscribe to my podcast? Now, whether or not, who knows, but if I'm a reporter, I'm just going to tell him yes, just to ask him the question that I want to ask him, right? So then the guy said yes, and he gets to answer the question back from the reporter, which is unbelievable stuff. He tweeted out this morning, hey, look, I'm sorry, I got to be better, which, yeah, you do. But the issue now is going to come. The season is over for Patrick Beverly. He's one of those guys that's, typically, if you have him on your team, you love him because he's real passionate, he's feisty, and he's a pest. Like I used to, back in the day, Matthew Barnaby of the Sabres was that type of guy. And back when the Flyers used to make the playoffs a lot, they would meet up with the Buffalo Sabres, and he was the ultimate antagonizer. But if he was on your team, you would have loved him here. And by the way, it is on record there that Matthew Barnaby said he would have loved to have played in Philadelphia because the fans were equally as passionate, right? But still, you can't attack anybody. Now, granted, Philadelphia Flyers fans and Philadelphia fans have been known to fall into the box and attack opposing players here to try to get a piece of them. But they are dealt with kindly by the player themselves. So I believe it was Ty Domi that one of the Flyers fans went after in the penalty box about 20 years ago now. But you can't as a player. Yes, you might be able to get into a verbal spat. You might be able to get a person thrown out of the arena. But the one thing you can't do, you can't throw basketballs at fans, because that could lead to another malice in the palace, which is something we don't want to see. It's a Friday. We got a lot more to get to, people. Make sure you keep the dial right here, SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here with your boy Donnie Wrightside here on a Friday afternoon edition of Moneyline. The best hour of your day. The phone lines are open if you want to get through. You got a hot pick today, got a hot topic. And also, by the way, I'm not a big horse racing guy, but I will be watching the Kentucky Derby. If anybody out there has any Kentucky Derby plays that you feel can come through and win, I'm here for it. 844-843-6879. But we do have a doubleheader tonight in the NBA. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic. That series is game six. 3-2 Cleveland Cavaliers. A win tonight by the Cavaliers will clinch the series, and they will move on to take on the New York Knicks. If the Orlando Magic win Game 6 tonight, we go to a Game 7 in Cleveland, and then we let the chips fall where they may. Now, for my money here, I already have two series victories in the door for me, which was the, you know what, let me just pull this up here, because I'm going to get the exact numbers that I had. So I'm going to log into my FanDuel account and let you know exactly what I'm looking at here. By the way, has anybody ever logs in all the time? I know there's things with these sports books that they have to do. But you know what? Just keep me logged in. If some instance my kid somehow finds my computer and bets all my money on the Philadelphia 76ers and they lose, I'll take that one on the chin at this point. I can't stand logging into multiple sports books multiple times a day. And then my favorite is, let me log in and get a bet down. Oh, yeah, where is your code at? We're going to send it to your phone. Your cell doesn't get good reception. You got to wait. You can't log in. Just keep me logged in around the clock, just like my emails are. Is that hard to do? Come on now. Just let it be. All right. So when I entered into the NBA playoffs, I didn't bet a lot of money on this because I'm not necessarily a true bona fide NBA handicapper. But I know what I'm talking about because I watch sports and I understand the waves of gambling. So I took a four-leg parlay for round number one in the playoffs. I took the Minnesota Timberwolves to beat Phoenix. That was a plus 114 price. That's already in the door. It's a winner. I took the Denver Nuggets to beat the Los Angeles Lakers. That was a minus 420 price. That's already in the door. I have the Dallas Mavericks to beat the Los Angeles Clippers at a minus 134 price. They're in game six tonight. We'll get to that in just a few moments. Also had the Cleveland Cavaliers at a minus 205 price to beat the Orlando Magic. That one's in game six. They can also clinch. So a big night tonight. Even if I don't have a singular wager, I'm rooting on these bets to come in. That total was 6-1 for that parlay. So hopefully I can cash in some tickets and have some fun and, you know, cheer it on. But I told you already, if you guys were watching the early line this morning, I think the Orlando Magic is the better play tonight. I think they win. And if one thing is apparent, home teams rule in this series, it absolutely does. Up to the last game, which was game number 5, won by the Cavaliers by a single point. The reason why it was a single point was Paolo Banchero knocked down a late three-point shot at the gun to make it 4-1, so it was much, much closer than the final score. You might have figured that that last shot might have actually meant something when it didn't, but that's neither here nor there. Games 1 and 2, Cleveland on their home court pounded the Orlando Magic. Games 3 and 4, Orlando pounded the Cleveland Cavaliers. Game number 5, coin flip, now we see game number 6. That line, which opened up at 4, is now 3.5 across the board. And I said this 2 days ago when I was talking to Ben on the early line. I think I have my best bet for Friday already picked out. And I want my worst way. I want my best bet to lose today, technically, because more money will come through because I do believe I'm going to get a 2-0 night, I hope, out of the Mavericks and the Cavaliers. But what has shown me anything that the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to be special and go on the road and win a game, which the last two games in Orlando, they barely even showed up to play, it felt like. Total, extremely low today. Opened up at 200, now sits at 200.5 points. That's extremely low, and by the way, I still do lean on the under. I hope the Cleveland Cavaliers win because it would be more beneficial, but my favorite pick tonight is actually the Orlando Magic at 3.5. I'm not going to be shocked when I'm checking back and forth between Major League Baseball and NBA action that we actually got a rout by the Orlando Magic. I think there's a possibility that that happens. Ticket count in this game? How about this? 51% Cavs, 49% Orlando Magic. It's roughly 50-50. So I think that line is right, but for me, I do think the Orlando Magic win this game tonight. I do. And Paolo Banchero, who has gone from like playing very well during the regular season to upping his game where he's routinely now 2 of the past 3 games in the 30s. I think he does have a big game tonight. Last time I checked this morning on the FanDuel Sportsbook, his points prop was 24.5. I think he gets the 25 points tonight at home. Must-win situation for the Orlando Magic. The confidence of being at home, and also the confidence of playing a close game on the road last time out, which is something that hadn't happened in this series. I think the Magic win tonight. The 3.5, I think, is a smart move here. We're going to talk Clippers and Mavericks next, and then we're going to get your handicapping hats on. We got a full Major League Baseball slate tonight. Looks like a lot of unders, but can we find some RBI props? Damn right we can. Come on back. Let's find them right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey guys, we do have Major League Baseball already underway this afternoon. Taking a look live right now at the Chicago Cubs and the Milwaukee Brewers. No score, bottom of the first inning, 2 outs, and a man finally on here with an Ian Happ single to left field. We'll keep you updated on that game if anything happens. Next games up start at 6 o'clock. 6:10, 6:40, 6:40, 6:45, and 6:50. We'll get to go those games in just a little bit. But there is one other NBA game tonight, and based on the numbers, it looks like it should be a series that will be finishing here. It's the Los Angeles Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks, 9:30 Eastern tip time. That line opened up at 8. Currently, it's at 8 at most outlets across the board. BetMGM here in New Jersey is showing an 8.5 for the Dallas Mavericks. A total that opened up at 207 that now sits here at 208.5 to 207.5, depending on where you're shopping at. For myself, the Dallas Mavericks, I thought, handled their business in game number 5. They let the game get away from them in game number 4 because why? They started out a game where they were down 30 points, fought all the way back to take the lead, but still weren't able to win that game because late the Clippers were able to close that one out. But the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic, who basically was questionable coming into game number 5 with a bum knee and an illness, played tremendous basketball. Kyrie Irving didn't do a ton of scoring, but was a plus 25. It all worked out in their favor. Now it's time for the Dallas Mavericks to close the doors on the Clippers, who won't have Kawhi Leonard available once again. So it's up to James Harden to go crazy from three-point range. It's up to Paul George to go crazy from three-point range. And if that happens, they'll be able to hang around. But I'm not necessarily thinking that that is going to happen. So I would lay the 8 points with the Dallas Mavericks tonight. No real feel on the total, even though it probably feels like an under at this point to me, to be honest. But I really don't have anything that I'm looking forward to in that game. Now, there is an odds boost on the FanDuel Sportsbook for this game. It's a minus. These are the ones you're supposed to take, to be honest, right? It's when, like, sometimes they used to give that, like, okay, we're going to get a 350 and we'll boost it to a 450 and say, ooh, that looks enticing, but it's four legs and some stuff that you think might not happen, which is why it's plus 350 boosted to 450. But these are usually the ones that catch my attention. It's Luka Doncic tonight to make three or more three-point shots and score 30 points. Now, when you take a look at Luka, he should easily be able to get to around 30 points, which puts you in the game. And along with those 30 points, it's sort of a correlation that he's going to make 3 three-point shots along the way to 30 points, right? But it's a minus 190 boosted to a plus 100. These are the ones that you're supposed to love, right? These are the ones that you're supposed to take blindly. But sometimes they just don't fit my eye frame in the NBA on points. Because I look at it and say, yeah, like even, and the reason I want to cross-reference this with the Knicks series versus the Sixers is, I kept telling you, like, every single game, after games 1 and 2, like, if Jalen Brunson is going to shoot 25 or more times every night, why don't you just bet him blind around 30 points every single game? You'd have made money in spades. But yet, I didn't find myself betting him blind every game to get 30-plus points. So now we see Luka Doncic, who usually gets 30 points at a plus 100. I'm saying to myself, well, if they blow him out, does he need the 30? Do you see where I go with that? Like so many other bets, like if they would have came out and said, all right, Kyrie Irving to get 4 assists and Luka Doncic to get 8 assists. And I'm just, again, that's not the bet that's going to be out there. But I'll be like, oh, you know what? Okay, I got the 8 assists here and 4 assists here. Boom, 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 boom. But the ones I get nervous at are both guys have to reach 25 points. Both guys have to reach, you know, 30 points at this point because you would need both to get there. Now, this one's not even asking for that. It's just one guy. And if you ask me right now and say, how does this game actually turn out? I do think Luka does get 30 points in this game, but I'm having a tough time wrapping my head around actually betting this odds boost. I know, make it make sense, because technically it doesn't here. But I do think the Dallas Mavericks win by double digits tonight and take care of everything. Now, tomorrow, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets are going to tee up their series, which is going to be fantastic to watch. That line's 4.5 across the board. That's going to be a great, great series all the way through. Do I think the Denver Nuggets win it? Yes, I do. But I do think that the Minnesota Timberwolves give them hell all the way through, and I think it does get to 7 games. I think they're pretty evenly matched ball clubs here, and I think that's going to show in the playoffs, so I'm excited for that. Would have been nice to have tomorrow, right? Sixers-Knicks game 7, Pacers-Bucks game 7 to root on, but we're not going to get that. It is what it is at this point, and we'll see if we get 2 closed-out series tonight so we can start up the next series. And also, by the way, Pacers and the Knicks will open Monday night, Madison Square Garden, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The lines are already out. The New York Knicks are a 6-point favorite over the Pacers with a total of 216. All right, let's set the table for Major League Baseball today. Yesterday, a handful of games, not a lot to love. And if you follow me on Twitter, on X, whatever you want to call it, at RightsideVP, I did tweet out this morning that I said, you know what? I don't have a lot to bet on today. Lost some money in the NBA. Maybe we can get some back here in Major League Baseball. So just before 8 o'clock, I'm firing away on the Astros game last night. And I said, you know what? I have some decent matchups here. I think we get runs. We actually did get some runs. 10, which was good enough. I believe that total closed at 9.5. But I took 2 players, $100 a pop, at a 5-to-1 price to get a 2 RBI apiece. I ended up getting one by Diaz on a bases loaded. I believe it was bases loaded, 1 out. A little flare to right field, which scored 2 runs, which was great. So I laid out $200 with the chance to actually win $1,000 back. Or actually, technically, it was to win, lay out $200 to get $1,200 back. So it would be $1,000 worth of profit. But I got one of them to come in. So that $100 wager paid back $600, turned into an okay night, and away we go today. Now, Ben and I were reviewing the card tonight, and I wasn't finding, like, because we usually just cap it on the fly, right? Pretty easy for me to do, but at times, it's like, man, sooner or later, you're going to stumble into something that you love. Now, I do love one RBI prop today. I'm going to get to that in just a few moments, and certainly, there's much, much more, but I haven't officially handicapped the entire card yet. I didn't love anything, by the way, in this Milwaukee Brewers-Chicago Cubs game either this afternoon, but if lining up pitchers, which I like to do, to start the season, I need at least 20 innings pitched. And once we get another month through, we're going to be able to expand that and really get a read. So if we take a look at those ERA numbers, I don't really care about them. It's more of the xFIPs and the xFIP minus numbers. You can use Sierra, which throws in some defense there, but the worst pitcher on the card today, Colorado Rockies' Cal Quantrill. He's got an ERA of 5.34, which is bad. That's really an indicator. But his xFIP minus number is a 133. And again, that xFIP number at 100, anything above it, you're below average as a pitcher. Pitcher number two who's bad today, that's J.P. Sears of Oakland. He's at a 128 xFIP minus. Ryan Weathers of Miami is at a 4.55 ERA, but again, who cares about that? He's at a 127 xFIP minus number. Next guy closest there, 119, Gavin Stone. Before that, Joe Ross of Milwaukee. Now, he's playing right now. He actually has decent numbers, but again, the analytical numbers that I like to look at are the underlying value of the pitcher. So, chance that he gets hit. Wind was blowing in today. Didn't love everything. It's top of the second inning, by the way. Two outs and two runners on here for the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll keep you updated. Best pitchers on the card today. The top five guys, Sonny Gray, number one. xFIP minus, people. How about this? 55. He's got an xFIP minus of 55. That's damn near perfection. Tanner Houck of Boston seemed like he's coming out of nowhere here. A 64 xFIP minus. His ERA, 1.60. Yusei Kikuchi of Toronto, a 74 xFIP minus. Tremendous. George Kirby, fourth on the card today, at a 75. And Aaron Civale of the Tampa Bay Rays is number five at an 86. Handful of guys in that mid-90s, handful of guys just over 100. So not a fantastic card to actually start out and say, there are a lot of guys we like to smash. So if we're getting to some of the handicaps that I like today, let's go over the card a bit. You take a look at the Cincinnati Reds and the Baltimore Orioles. Cole Irving, who's not a great pitcher by any stretch, was okay last year. He's been phenomenal this year overall. He really has been. Now, if you're looking at his analytical numbers, he's a 106 xFIP minus, which tells you he's right about average. And by the way, his ERA, not bad at a 3.49. But look at his numbers. He's a left-handed pitcher. To lefties and righties combined, to 116 batters, guys, he's a 111 ISO power number. And again, if you're new to the program, ISO in that 165 range, above is where you want to be for a batter, below is where you want to be for a pitcher. He's a 111. Weighted on base percentage, that 325, 330 area, you want to be below that as a pitcher, he's a 303. So as much as you want to take some Reds, guys, you can't do it. Hunter Green on the opposite side, decent numbers as well. Tough scene in this one. So we'll pass on that one. We got a long way to go handicapping. Let's have some fun and pick some winners. We'll continue it next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get through as many games as we can today on that Major League Baseball card. City of Brotherly Love, the Phillies, after a successful road trip here back at Citizens Bank Ballpark to take on the San Francisco Giants. But here's the problem again. You know us. We love RBI props. You got two pretty good pitchers on the mound. If we're looking on the card today, 26 pitchers that are ranked with at least 20 innings pitched. Aaron Nola, number 7, Jordan Hicks of the San Francisco Giants, number 8, respectively. The xFIP minus for Nola, 89 for Hicks, 94, both above average here. And if you're looking at Hicks on the season, if you guys like that ERA thing, he's at a 1.59, which is incredible. 129 batters he's faced this year. Take a look at his ISO power number, 069. Weighted on base percentage, 238. That is sensational. So for me tonight, in a cooler condition game at Citizens Bank Ballpark, which it's been very hot here in the Northeast this week, about 60 degrees at first pitch, a wind blowing to left, sort of to left, I should say, more of a right foul pole to left foul pole, 10 miles an hour, not much help tonight. So from a Phillies perspective, even though those bats can get hot, I don't know if they do tonight in the cooler temperatures and going up against Hicks. Aaron Nola on the opposite side, who has faced 79 right-handed batters, he's been tremendous at 108 ISO, weighted on base percentage of 242. However, He's walking left-handed batters, and he's given up ISO power numbers of 264 and a weighted on-base percentage of 356. So you go right to the order tonight. I don't really like this lineup at all for the Giants, but one guy does stick out, and that's Patrick Bailey, the catcher. He's a switch hitter, so a bat from the left-hand side tonight against Nola. He's a 220 ISO power number and a weighted on-base percentage of 351. So I'm going to write down here Bailey, just be quick. I'm not going to say I'm going to bet him right now, but just something to keep an eye on. Now, here's the issue as well, which I like to get into topics when I get into handicapping with these type of situations to explain why. Well, Donnie, why wouldn't you just take Patrick Bailey? Nola struggles with left-handed batters, and he's a very good left-handed bat against right-handed pitching. I get that. But also, from an RBI prop perspective, what's the easiest way to get an RBI? Well, it's a solo home run, right? They don't come around a lot. Otherwise, people would hit 100 home runs in a 162-game schedule, right? So let's just say a decent power hitter is going to get you 30 home runs. There's 162 games. You can do the math. It's not every night that's going to happen when the matchup is in your favor. But the reason I'm bringing this up is, look at the guys before him, right? You take a look and say, he's in the six hole, which is where he's supposed to be tonight. We don't have the official lineup, but let's just call it the six hole for Patrick Bailey. You take a look and say, what guys would impact me ahead of it? It's Lamonte Wade in the third hole, a 109 ISO, but he does have a 383 weighted on base percentage. Let's just say he's a decent chance to get on base a third of the time. Then you take a look at Michael Conforto, due to bat up in the fourth hole, 307. It's not very good. Matt Chapman, who will bat just before Patrick Bailey, a 244 weighted on base percentage. So a lot of these times you look at these numbers and say, well, yes, the batter has to be very good in the situational matchup, guys, but also you would like those batters ahead of said guy that you figure can get an RBI to have people on base so he can get an RBI. So I hope that makes some sense to you. Patrick Bailey looks really good, but the players in front of him don't. Now, granted, he's probably got a pretty good RBI number prop, and maybe it's worth a flyer. I don't know. I'm just laying it out here as that's what the synopsis would be. Probably not going to take Patrick Bailey, but technically, he does fit into a small box here for RBI action. Now, I told you Cal Quantrill of the Colorado Rockies has a 133 xFIP minus this season. Worst on the card today at a 26 eligible pitchers. Now, if you look at his numbers, they're not great. If you combine them, 176 ISO, which is right around that number average. Weighted on base percentage, 348, slightly elevated. So he is a guy that you do want to pick on. If we're trying to say which side gets the better of him, it's really even both sides. 193 ISO to lefties, 162 to righties. So obviously a little bit elevated to lefties. But then the weighted on base percentage is slightly higher from the right-handed batters compared to the left-handed batters. But when we look at that Pittsburgh Pirates lineup, it's not all that great. And a lot of times, I like to start with the ISO power number because that lets you know what they're doing and the damage they're doing at the plate with extra bases. The higher the number, the better. You get the point. But if we look at the Pittsburgh Pirates lineup tonight, Andrew McCutchen in the three hole, which is where we figure he's going to bat tonight, is a right-handed batter. He's got a 190 ISO power number and a 339 weighted on base percentage. The 190 is the highest ISO power number on the team tonight based upon going up against right-handed pitching in 2024. That's not good. So every single batter in that lineup is below. So then again, you can use that same theory and say, Donnie, it looks like McCutchen is a decent batter. Yes, he is. But Cabrian Hayes and Brian Reynolds ahead of him, what do they factor in doing? Well, Cabrian Hayes is a weighted on base percentage of 273, and Reynolds has a 276. So if nobody's getting on base, you're hoping that Andrew McCutchen hits a home run himself. Now, I'm going to line up Andrew McCutchen here and just write his name down. But again, he doesn't fit that perfect sphere. Even though I just told you, Cal Quantrill should be a bad pitcher tonight. But the lineup that he's going up against the Pirates, you still have to have some really good bats in there to take care of bad pitching. I don't know if the Pirates actually have that. Martin Perez on the other side, ISO power number 091 versus lefty and righties. Weighted on base percentage is 306. It just doesn't work out in this game here. And it's some pitchers that you probably would want to take advantage of, and it doesn't look like you can. So let's get to the good stuff right now. And that's Toronto, and it's Washington. Yusei Kikuchi is on the mound today for Toronto. He's been flat out phenomenal. Third best pitcher on the card today. XFIP number is at a 74. We're not taking any Washington Nationals today. Just take them off your board. But we do have some shots here that we can take a look at for the Toronto Blue Jays. Patrick Corbin is the pitcher today who's going to be on the mound. He's got a 108 xFIP minus, which isn't that bad. If you look at that ERA, it's a 6.82. Batting average against Patrick Corbin, it's a 348, which is absolutely ridiculous. Now, here's where the matchups come in. He's been rocked. Both lefty and righty batters are getting the best of him. If you take a look at his 148 at-bats that he's going up against batters this year, a 211 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 415. Guys, those numbers are off the charts here. So you want to focus on lefties and righties. But typically, in a lineup, you're going to get the majority of right-handed batters. And particularly tonight, we don't have the official lineup, but it looks like 8 right-handed batters and 1 left-handed batter. So you're going to have your choice tonight, guys. And quite frankly, maybe the best guy on the card tonight, or at least 1A, 1B with a couple guys later tonight, is Justin Turner. Bet365, and this is how you know he's really on top of his game this year. He's a plus 100 to record an RBI on Bet365, and we're not playing in Colorado. That should tell you something. He should be able to get an RBI tonight, but also Davis Schneider right behind him, a 286 ISO power number. Danny Jansen, limited at bats, a 200 ISO power number. Dalton Varsho is a lefty, a 235 ISO power number. Take a look at the Toronto Blue Jays tonight, people. We're going to get some RBI, which includes Justin Turner. Let's keep that Major League Baseball profile rolling right here on a Friday afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some big games on the card tonight, guys. I know we went over the NBA games, the doubleheader tonight, which I do think the home teams win both of these games and also cover, which would mean the Orlando Magic forcing a game 7 and the Dallas Mavericks closing out in 6 games the Los Angeles Clippers. But there is some big baseball tonight, and, you know, if you're a late night owl, and rightfully so, you could be on a Friday here. 10-10 start, that's Atlanta and Los Angeles. So the Dodgers might be getting a little preview here of a possible NLCS at the end of the season. Two tremendous lineups going toe-to-toe, but again, not in love with the actual pitching matchups. If we're taking a look at who I would trust more in this spot, and if we take a look at the latest lines in this game, let me just get a update here. All right. Basically, pick them. Minus 116, 102 with a total listed at 9.5. That's Morton and Stone for the Braves and the Dodgers tonight. If we take a look at Gavin Stone, doesn't actually strike out a lot of people into left-handed batters, walks them a lot. But however, his ISO power number weighted on base percentages are quite low here in 2024. He's got a 105 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 291. But if we're lining him up pitching-wise tonight, based on XFIP minus, he's at a 119. And a 468 ERA, one of the worst Sierras on the card tonight, too, guys, at 5, which is a disaster. So the question is going to be, are you trusting those ISO power number weighted on base percentages or no? Now, if you do want to say, 109 batters isn't a good enough feel for me on Gavin Stone, Donnie, what did he do last year? He got torched last year. 152 batters, his ISO combined was 265, and a weighted on-base percentage of 431. That's a good-looking lineup tonight for the Braves. I think the Braves win this game. As a side, forget about even totals here. The problem is, both of these lineups are great. It's a shame that we're not getting pitchers to reciprocate back. Now, as we take a look at Charlie Morton on the mound tonight, and take a look at where his numbers are today. Let me see if I can find Charlie Morton. 120 batters, so I guess, oh, there he goes. 11th on the card today at 96. See what I mean? ISO power number 112, weighted on base percentage 285. Take a look at the first 5 to 6 batters in that lineup tonight for the Dodgers. You're talking about weighted on base percentages of 461, 530, 468, 318, 377, 341. And then Andy Pages, who's been really good. 38 at-bats against right-handed pitching so far on his young season, getting called up. He's got a 294 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 395. Like, that lineup is really good for the Dodgers. It's just a shame that we don't have that pitching matchup to come back with us here. So let's flip around to that Miami-Oakland series, right? Ryan Weathers on the mound, who's not a great pitcher. He's a lefty. He's dominated against left-handed batters. But he's going to face a lot of right-handed batters tonight. If we look at that Oakland lineup, to be honest, it looks like only J.J. Bleda would be a lefty in the lineup tonight in that 7-hole. But there's a lot of bad batters, but also at the same time, Ruiz, the leadoff hitter, 421 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 480 against left-handed pitching. Tyler Nevin, 370 ISO, weighted on base percentage 463. Abraham Toro, due to bat 5th tonight, as we anticipate, 189 ISO and a 379 weighted on base percentage. Dare I say Oakland has a couple RBI props that you might want to eat tonight with? Crazy. And by the way, J.P. Sears stinks too. He's 25th on the card out of 26 pitchers, a 128 XFIP number. But that lineup for Miami stinks out loud, man. That's a shame. That's one of those where you just might say, you know what? I think both of those pitchers can get hit. I'm just going to take the game total over. I don't know which guy's going to get the base hits, but somebody's going to get it done. You know that feel? That's the way it feels tonight. Flip it over to San Diego and Arizona again. Like Slade Cioni, however you pronounce his last name. Only 43 batters he's faced, but he's got a stellar ISO and weighted on base percentage. Like, what world are we waking up? Which only means one thing. All these games we're going over, which we're not finding great RBI action and RBI shots, that just means when you turn the page over to tomorrow, we shouldn't have as many pitchers that are absolutely filthy. Like in a game that you figured you'd get a lot of base hits in tonight, right? Chicago White Sox, St. Louis Cardinals. Like the White Sox pitching staff stinks out loud. But now we have Brad Keller on the mound tonight, who walks everybody and is terrible and has only faced, what, 8 or 9 batters this year? Like, well, I don't have to quantify that and just to say, well, he stinks and somebody's going to be able to hit him. Like, I like numbers here. That's why we wait basically 30 days before we have some official numbers to look at. But Sonny Gray's the best pitcher on the card tonight, people. An 060 ISO and a 233 weighted on base percentage. We don't like anybody in that game. So it really looks like the Oakland Athletics and the Toronto Blue Jays are the best of it tonight for teams that were looking forward to actually doing some damage or the chance to do some damage at the plate. Make it make sense, man. I didn't like the card yesterday. I'm not loving the card today, but maybe we just put some of those props down on those two teams I just recognized. Yes, Oakland, one of the better teams tonight, in one of the hardest environments to get base hits. That'll do it for today's Friday show, people. Thanks for tuning in. For Danny Von the Wheels of Steel, Donnie Wrightside here. We'll see you Monday. Enjoy your weekend.